For now, though, I want to ask you to take a different look at one of our most iconic experiences here in Cape Town. That's the experience of taking a ride up the cableway to the top of the mountain. And most people get so caught up in the view on the way up that they don't really stop to give a second thought to the huge effort that goes into keeping that system in perfect running order. My next guest in studio did more than just give it a thought. He has, in fact, spent the last 13 years documenting that story behind the scenes. And he's put it all together in a beautiful new coffee table book called Changing the Lines, which paints a real visual narrative of the cableway as you've never seen it before. It's such a pleasure to welcome writer and photographer Gary Herson to the studio today. Gary, great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Pippa. Thanks for having me here.
It's a pleasure. Where did it all begin? I mean, how did you come to work on this project?
It started in 2005 when the general manager, Sabina Lehman, asked me to photograph a maintenance project. I wasn't 100% sure what it was, and the initial brief was that they wanted to document the maintenance going on behind the scenes of the annual maintenance, and they wanted to create a project review book, and that's how it all started. And when I arrived there, I saw this machinery and I saw the engineers, and I started taking portraits, started shooting in black and white, and that was the start of the journey. But I never thought it would be become a book,
as it turned out to be. So it really started as almost a technical job. I think the intention was for them to use those photographs as almost a demonstration manual going forward.
Absolutely, it was. It was exactly that, just a technical guide to, because what they do at TMAC, the Aeroway Cable Guy Company, is that the staff actually don overalls during the maintenance period, and they get involved in the workings and the maintenance along with the Swiss engineers that are flown out. And it was going to be a guide for them moving forward.
Okay, because obviously you can't always have a Swiss engineer on standby if something goes wrong and needs unplanned maintenance.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so that's where it all started. And then obviously over the course of those years, that project, you developed the fascination for what you were seeing. And as you describe in the book, it is this unique interplay between man and machine in a way that most people don't get a chance to view it. I mean, there's some extraordinary photographs, one of a man dangling beneath the cable choir on a wire, doing I'm not quite sure what. But I believe you are afraid of heights. What was it like for you to take on a project of this scope?
I have to be totally honest, I'm not. But I actually wrote a story about this whole change a while ago, and it was published in Sal Borne magazine, and I used a bit of creative license to sort of add a bit of interest about
it.
And at every interview is like, oh, you're afraid of heights, how do you go up the mountain? But
Problem was eradicated. Talk about access. I mean, obviously they'd invited you to be there, so you had unique access which members of the public wouldn't ordinarily have. In your decision to keep on photographing over years and years, were they equally welcoming to say, carry on, we like the concept?
Very much so. Yep. So for the last 13 years, and there was a period of time where I was overseas, but every other year I've been booked to do it. And yes, I have absolute access within any legal parameter. I mean, I've been on top of the cable car, I've been up the mountain where there's nobody else. And I've just got to be aware of the technicians that are working, the engineers that are working, and obviously anything that is remotely dangerous, I've just got to stay away from.
I've had
absolute access. I've gotten to know the technicians and the engineers over the years, and they kind of know when I'm coming that I'm going to ask them for something, and they either say yes or no, and that's how it goes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I mean, let's talk about the kind of maintenance you were witness to, because I don't think many people have a sense. I mean, they know that there is a downtime for maintenance usually over the winter period, and we know that obviously the weather doesn't always play along with that. It can complicate matters. But talk to us about some of the figures here of what is done how often.
So the maintenance normally happens during a 2 to 5 week period. And besides, they do roadworks and they refurbish the restaurants and they train staff during that time. But every 4 years, they change the cables that pull the cable cars up and down the mountain. So there's two cables that are connected to either side, the top and the bottom side of the cable car, which go to the top of the mountain and to the bottom of the mountain. They're called the Hill and Hall cables, and those are changed every 4 years. Every 6 years, the cable cars are completely stripped and refurbished. And every 12 years, the cables that the cable car runs on, called the track cables, are retensioned. So it varies from year to year. If it's a 5 week shutdown, then they're going to be changing cables and they're going to be refurbishing cable cars. If it's a 2 week period, then they normally doing restaurant refurbishing and the likes. Yeah.
So the more sort of cosmetic stuff, as it were. Okay. I mean, in the decision to put it all together, you obviously have a collection of extraordinarily beautiful photographs, some beautiful perspectives, obviously from the top of the mountain, from the bottom looking up, and then just the interesting perspective on the cables and the machinery, etc., and the people working on it. When you decided that you wanted to put this together as a coffee table book, who did you envisage as the audience?
It's really interesting because every winter when I'm photographing this project, people say to me, what are you shooting? And I always say, oh, Table Mountain shuts down, just sort of nonchalantly. And they're all like, huh? You're like, Table Mountain shuts down. And then I explain that the Aerial Cable Company actually shuts down. And so many people have said, geez, that's interesting. So the audience is absolutely everyone, but it does have a more of an engineering feel to it. So other people that have interviewed me are like sort of car magazines and sort of like male dominant sort of markets. But I would like everybody to see the book and buy the book. Table Mountain have obviously bought copies for their shop. So I'm hoping international tourists will sort of buy to see what actually goes on behind the scenes. But in a nutshell, anybody, you know, anybody who enjoys reportage documentary photography, because that's what it is. It's not an art book. It's a storybook about an engineering feat in a very unique environment. So anybody who enjoys photography and anybody enjoys a good photographic story, anybody wants a good coffee table book.
Well, I hope they are going to buy it in great numbers. Gary, where do we get hold of it and what's the cost of the book?
The cost is at 345 Rand directly from our website for a signed copy. And then it is it is available in independent bookstores around Cape Town, sort of your book lounges and Clark's Books and the likes.
Okay, so the book is called Changing the Lines. You've been listening to the author/photographer Gary Herson, and his Herson is spelled H-I-R-S-O-N. The website he referenced is www.garyherson.com, so you can buy directly from that site or look for it in your local independent bookstore. Gary, it's a beautiful book. Congratulations, and thanks for coming in to share the background story with us today.
Thanks very much, and thanks again for having me.
It's a great pleasure. Sure.